When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Jim Harbaugh will be back next season to coach the Michigan football team. Several of his key players decided recently that they'll return too. We discuss it all on Wolverine Confidential. Hey guys, good to be talking with you both here. Tuesday afternoon, January 17th. And it is official. Jim Harbaugh is returning to coach the Michigan football team next season. Of course, as we've discussed here, and many of our listeners, I'm sure, know, there was, you know, there were NFL rumors, and he went as far as, you know, interviewing at least with one team. No offers were reported. That was the thing that we've been saying for a while. That was going to be, of course, a major piece of this, is actually getting an offer from an NFL team. It doesn't appear that that happened. He's staying at Michigan. I've got some thoughts for sure, specifically about, you know, the messaging around this after it broke, but just kind of initial reaction from you guys, you know, what it means for Michigan, and yeah, the news itself.
Well, I mean, status quo, things aren't going to change much, which hasn't been the case now for what, 8 years. But no, Jim's back. I, at this point, I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is now the second straight year we've gone through this. I'm glad it hasn't kind of spilled over into the month of February. I'm glad it was kind of put to bed this quickly. It sounds like Jim, there was some interest there from at least on Jim's side of obviously going to the NFL. I don't know why you would interview for an NFL head coaching job if you weren't at least somewhat interested in it.
Right.
Now part of it too is, you know, a leverage standpoint. You know, if you're Jim and you're his side and you want more money and a, you know, a bigger contract, whatever the case may be, I could see doing that as well. But it sounds like there's been, you know, there's some clarity on his end the last couple of days, to the point where he actively called the Broncos and told them, I'm no longer interested in the job. And then he you know, called Michigan and told them, yes, I'll be back. So, you know, as of now, Jim is entering the second year of his original five-year deal he signed last year. I've been told that there are ongoing talks right now for a new contract with a significant pay raise increase and probably a larger buyout too. We'll see how quickly or when that gets done. But nonetheless, Jim will be coaching Michigan football in 2023, as he said that he anticipated doing so. But as we talked about in previous podcasts and previous weeks, there's a lot more going on this year than maybe last.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Michigan fan, you got to be happy about this, because I think as far as helping your team, leading your team to a possible national championship, I think Jim Harbaugh is the best option for Michigan. But yeah, I mean, I don't think this drama is going to be over. I think Andrew is probably hinting at this in his opening and about the Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh situation maybe lingering. But as far as the on-field product, I mean, Harbaugh returns a ton of players from last year. He has the quarterback back, has the skill players back. They're bringing back a bunch of offensive linemen. I mean, this team is built to make another run. But yeah, we'll see how much of a raise he gets. But yeah, I at this point, is he ever going to be the first choice for an NFL team now? I mean, I feel like, yeah, his name's always out there, but it seems like, I mean, even with Denver, that Sean Payton kind of emerged as maybe their top candidate. And it looks like maybe Harbaugh was getting out ahead of it and saying, you know what, take me out. Let me just go back to Michigan. And it's the timing's really important for the Wolverines too, because the traditional signing period is coming up in February. You have a five-star quarterback in the 2024 class that is about to make his decision. And you don't want to lose out on him, because once again, you put all your eggs in that basket. You need to land him in Jaden Davis. So I think the timing is important for Michigan. And yeah, at this point, it's here we go again. Like, all right, he's back. Let's move on.
Right. He's back in the sense, but you know, he never left, of course. He's under contract.
Right.
So I use that term too, but yes, he's back in the sense that he didn't leave. So he's still here. But and of course, okay, so yes, in his Santa Ono, the president of Michigan, tweets out, just got off the phone with Coach Harbaugh and Jim shared with me the great news that he's going to remain as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. That is fantastic news that I have communicated to our athletic director, Ward Manuel. And then, Jim Harbaugh, quote tweets that with his own message. He mentions Ono by name, but not Ward Manuel. And it's just, even with just the graphic that Santa Ono put on it with, him like standing on the field, it was all just kind of, I kind of got a laugh out of some of it. It was a little interesting to me. And
patting, patting himself on the back for getting the job done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not entirely sure what to make of him. He seems overall, I don't want to be cynical, I guess. And personally, I'll just say that it seems like he is, well-liked by students and tries to get out there and, find out what things he can fix in the university, how he can make things better. So yeah, he doesn't mind the attention. I'll put it that way, I guess. But yeah, it's hard not to kind of read between the lines and see, not just what was in these messages, but, what or who wasn't.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it even goes back last week to, when Santa, he tweeted this out last, I think, Thursday, that he had a conversation with Jim about staying at Michigan. And Jim, again, through the Michigan football program, released a statement thanking Santa Ono, essentially. And again, there's really no mention of Ward Manuel. So to me, and from what I've been able to gather, it sounds like the new president was the one kind of leading the charge here, leading the talks. I don't know if Ward just wasn't excluded at all here, but it's certainly a departure from years past. In the last two contract negotiations, whether it was 2020 or 2021, Ward certainly led the charge there, and Michigan's president was basically AWOL. This year, this time around, it's been kind of been opposite. Santa Ono has kind of taken the lead. You can make of that what you want. And it's important to note that too. I mean, he is the most powerful person at the university. He wants his stamp on things. And if he feels like he's representing the university and he wants Jim Harbaugh to understand where they're coming from, I think I can find no other person to deliver that. So in a way, I think Santa is been a change from what we've seen from years past from the previous president. He's in a way kind of diminished maybe some of what Ward's been doing in the past. But yeah, in a way, I think Michigan's at a crossroads. We always talk about when new bosses come in, whether it's university or some other job or some other, sporting organization, they like to have their stamp on things. They want, in some cases, they want their own people in there. And I'm not suggesting Santa's going to make a move here. But nonetheless, I mean, remember, Ward Manuel was hired by a previous, under previous president, previous board. Times have changed, and we'll see where things go in the next few weeks to a month. But it's certainly rather interesting just from an administration standpoint.
How many more years is he going to be on the college football playoff committee? Does he have one more year after this one?
He just signed. This past year was his first year, and I have to go look. I think it's four-year appointments.
Oh, all right.
Gotcha. So it's a while.
All right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, with some of the other things that have gone on during his tenure, especially recently with the Mel Pearson thing and with his Harbaugh thing, even the Xavier Simpson situation, it just seems like there's things that maybe make you question, like, is he maybe the right fit as the AD at Michigan? So we'll see what happens. And this is the latest kind of saga here as far as his tenure at Michigan. And yeah, things could get a little bit dicey.
They lost a basketball and a baseball coach that went to the national championship and went elsewhere. I mean, again, John Beilein went to, the NBA, and Eric Bakich went to, a better college program, you could say, one where you thought you could be, a winner more regularly. But still, they did leave. I'm not blaming Ward Manuel for those things, but just if we're keeping score here, those are two things to mention as well, I guess. But I think Aaron is absolutely right. In addition to maybe wanting to put your stamp on things, from Harbaugh's perspective, at the end of the day, if you need something, approved by someone, and maybe he's kind of just cutting out the middleman, right? Going right to the person that's going to eventually have to sign off on it no matter what. And if you feel you have that standing to do that, as Harbaugh, probably does after his time here, then why not? But I don't know. It's still a little strange for him not to even be mentioned or be the one to, deliver that message. If you hadn't have told me beforehand, you would have thought that All right. Ward's the one who sends out that message with and mentions Santa, you know, thank you to our president for, you know, being such an important part of these talks or whatever. Instead, the opposite, where he just, you know, the athletic director kind of just gets a little shout out at the end there.
And for the record, I have asked the athletic department, you know, for comment on behalf of Ward Manuel. He has not done it yet. I've been told that he may say something, you know, after a potential new, you know, contract gets done. But right now, Ward is not talking, period.
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's been kind of par for the course for him throughout this. So it's something that's interesting, certainly worth monitoring, you know, going forward here, the relationship between Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel. But he is staying at Michigan to coach the 2023 team. And it should be a pretty loaded team. We had some, you know, since our last podcast, I'll just list some of the names here of guys that came back.
Please do, because I've flawed track myself.
Yeah, well, you know, I went through your guys' headlines. We got a couple offensive linemen, Zach Sinner and Trevor Keegan, and then a defensive lineman in Chris Jenkins. We got wide receiver Cornelius Johnson and linebacker Michael Barrett. You know, we had already mentioned, you know, Blake Corum on a previous podcast. He was a main guy coming back, and we know some of the names that didn't. But I think it's worth pointing out, like, Michael Barrett was a redshirt senior. He only appeared in two games as a freshman in 2018. So he's coming back for a sixth year using, you know, the COVID year. Cornelius Johnson also using the COVID year because he's played, you know, 4 years. He was a senior this past year. But the others, Zinner and Jenkins, were like true juniors last year. So they're just going to do their fourth year of college. And Keegan was a redshirt junior. He didn't play his first season. So, you know, he can come back next year and even, I guess, the 2 years after that, if he wants to. So it's just, and we'll get into like kind of the fund, you know, the crowdsourcing fund to you know, retain some of these players in a minute, I guess. But I think that's worth pointing out that some of these players, it was more about, you know, leaving early for the NFL versus other guys exercising, you know, extra years, for lack of a better term, to stay at Michigan. But those are the names, and they're names people know.
Yeah, for me, there were probably two surprises. I expected Cornelius Johnson to go just based on conversations I had with the scouting folks before the season. It sounded like they were planning on Cornelius entering the draft after this year. He had a pretty good year. I mean, nothing outstanding, but he had a big game against Ohio State, and he had enough tape on film that I think he probably could have, but interesting decision. And then Zach Zinter was a bit of a head turner for me. I thought he would be able to go pretty high. I mean, Mel Kiper on his draft board for this year had a top five, best guards available in the draft this year. And I'm not saying he would have been one of the first five drafted, but I think it spoke to his, you know, his high value. He probably could have went day two or early day three and gotten drafted. So, those are the two big surprises. The other guys, not so much. Trevor Keegan, he was fine this year. I think he has room to grow. Michael Barrett, I think right now his draft stock's relatively low. Probably a special teams guy at best. So I think he looks at it as an opportunity to come back and perhaps help his stock and again try and win a championship. So guys are obviously coming back for different reasons. Some have better situations than others. But again, it goes back to your original point, Andrew, that, you know, Jim Harbaugh comes back, you know, with a loaded team. I mean, they've got a lot of experience, a lot of playmakers, a lot of talent coming back, and I think it's gonna bode well for this fall.
It's interesting to me that you think Cornelius Johnson was, I think the fact that he's returned, I don't think it's a surprise that he didn't declare for the NFL. I think maybe the transfer portal might have been a more logical option for him just because he's been here for 4 years now, and it just doesn't seem like he's really fulfilled his potential with the Wolverines. You mentioned he had a decent year. I mean, he had fewer catches, same amount of games played, over 100 fewer yards receiving. I mean, he did have 6 touchdowns this year, but I mean, it's still, you just watch him play and there's games where you can see that potential, and there's games where you're just like, I feel like there's so much more to his game potentially. So he'll get more opportunity again this year, especially with Ronnie Bell leaving. But yeah, that one didn't surprise me too much. But yeah, Zinter, I'm like, yeah, he's always been touted by coaches, had another good year this year, young enough where there's probably going to be an NFL teams that feel like they can continue to mold him and develop him. So yeah, to me, that's the only real big surprise as far as returnees.
Maybe I need to clarify here, but I thought Cornelius was going to leave based on conversations I had before the season began with NFL drafts folks. I know Michigan submitted his information to them, you know, and there are other players they do as well. So it's not the end all be all, but I think there was this assumption that this was going to be Cornelius' final year. He ended up second on the team in catches, and he said in receiving yards and everything else. But as you guys noted, I mean, this Michigan offense isn't built, you know, for a high volume passing game. So the opportunities just weren't there for him. And you're right. Maybe he could have looked to transfer and gone somewhere else. But he essentially, with Ronnie Bell leaving, declaring Luke Schoonmaker leaving, he essentially becomes wide receiver one next year. We'll see where the offense goes. As we noted, Blake Corum is back, Donovan Edwards is back. So, and they got a bunch of experience and playmakers or experience returning on the offensive line. So I suspect Michigan's going to try to run the ball against some more of this next year. So where that leaves the passing game, I don't know, but I got to think Cornelius will probably be, wide receiver one going into the fall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Michigan's not throwing the ball 50 times, but he goes to a school like that. Then, I mean, I don't know, they're not necessarily looking at him as being that wide receiver one. So yeah, he's still on the field a ton and getting mm-hmm. targeted. But yeah, I
that's
I see
the
what
issue. He's
saying.
Targeted a lot, and his catch to target rate isn't very good. But yeah,
no, I think is the line on him, right? He had some weeks he played well, some weeks he disappeared, some weeks he was okay, some games he dropped balls that he shouldn't have dropped. I thought maybe the Ohio State game was enough to kind of push him over the finish line, and you could point to NFL team and say, hey, look, I can have big games, I can make big plays and big moments. I just got to be more of an opportunity. But ultimately, you know, he decided to come back. And I don't blame him. You know, if you can get another year in a system and you can get maybe put together more reliability on a week-to-week basis, it would certainly help his stock, I think, going into next year's draft.
And get that NIL money.
Yeah. So there you go. There is the Valiant Management Group, which is an NIL collective. Kind of endorsed by the university, put together a crowdfunding campaign, and their words were designed to retain key Michigan football players, starting with Blake Corum, Cornelius Johnson, Trevor Keegan, and Zach Zinter. It doesn't say, you know, it ends with them. And in fact, some of the language on the campaign, makes it clear that other players will be getting some of that money as well, because when it was started, it was unclear, you know, who, if any of these guys would come back. In the end, they all did, but you know, there was a chance they wouldn't have. And then, you know, one of the FAQs as well, then how does it work? You know, like, basically, am I getting my money back if I donate? And it's like, no, then it'll be distributed to other players who come back. I think we're working on maybe figuring it out exactly what that means, because there's a lot of guys on the team coming back, of course, but like, do you have to like prove that we're worthy of potentially going to the NFL? I don't know right. Exactly how that's going to work, but when I checked before we started recording, it was at $105,000. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. Obviously, between or among four players, that'd be 20 grand each. But it seems like it's going to be more than that. So again, I think for guys that were really going to be, you know, top NFL guys, that's not really, it's not going to, that kind of money probably isn't going to sway you. But, you know, if you were not, then yeah, it probably could be a difference maker potentially.
Yeah. I don't know. Some part of me thinks NIL, especially the situation where guys might get $15,000, $20,000 like a person, like, it's kind of overblown. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think you can go to the NFL, the minimum salary, even for a scout team guy, is like $500,000. So at the end of the day, I don't think that type of money really moves the needle a ton. And look, it's possible these guys get other assurances, like, hey, you know, we got this for you too, and maybe you get another vehicle, you get another car or something, the case may be. But nonetheless, I mean, it's good marketing. I mean, it looks right. Good. And it's possible too, again, we don't know how the system was created. It's possible too that these guys were promised more money, and this is just whatever the fans donated, it's kind of fills the coffers, I guess, so to speak, you know?
And we don't know who's donating more than $5,000 too, because if you donate more than $5,000, that's not included in that total online too. So who knows, maybe they had 10, 20 donors that really paid up and donated maybe $5 or $10 grand a piece and really inflated that number. So it is important to note, we do have interview requests with Valiant about the 1 more year fund too, to kind of get more details for a story. So maybe by next pod, or there'll be either a story up on M Live, or we'll talk about it on the next pod.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, it is interesting to just go through the names. You know, a lot of people do put their names on it, some their full names. And yeah, you know, 2,500, 45, 10, 25, 245, a grand, 50, 10, 50. Like, and, you know, it's interesting. Like, these are just fans, presumably. I mean, they're writing messages, you know, go blue and 2023 national champs and things like that. And yeah, it is. Interesting. And it's, I definitely could see how it could rub some people the wrong way about your, you know, literally like trying to buy, you know, your team for the next season. But you know, that's just where we're at today. But yeah, from football perspective, it has been, you know, as far as the losses and the guys that have been retained, like the ledger shows Michigan, like, greatly in the positive, right? I mean, is that a fair kind of assessment of where they stand after all these names have kind of shook out?
I do. I think they're in great shape going in 2023. So, I mean, there's no, you know, exodus via the portal in the spring or whatever the case may be. I mean, they're looking good. They're in good shape, considering all the rumors of Jim Harbaugh and everything else. Michigan's rosters, they're going to return a lot of experience, a lot of talent. You know, it's important to point out too, there weren't probably many first round picks on this team. You know, even if they were all to declare, I mean, there was no way Blake Corum was going to go first round. You know, perhaps someone's, you know, slides up there maybe after a good combine, but right now I think you're looking at best second or third round. So you got a lot of guys who, you know, are, especially nowadays, again, you mentioned NIL. I think Michigan has improved the culture. So I think there's a buy-in from the players. And again, they were this close to a national championship. So I think when all that's on the line, I do think players tend to rethink decisions, and they tend to think, you know, more likely about coming back. And that was, I think, that played out this offseason. And yeah, Michigan's in good shape going to 2023.
Yeah, talk about drafts. That 2024 draft for Michigan could be quite the haul if some of the juniors next year declare and leave early too. But yeah, I mean, if you look at this roster right now, they're really the only potential weak spot on paper would probably be cornerback. I mean, you'll have Will Johnson back. And the one question mark is who's going to maybe start opposite of him. But other than that, when you add in the transfers they brought in, plus the guys coming back, it's like, wow, there's a lot of strengths on this team, especially on offense. So it should be an exciting year again next year.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, you know, for Michigan to be, you know, ranked in the preseason, potentially ahead of Ohio State, because, you know, obviously 2 years ago, they made their Big Ten championship run and truly surprised people, came out of nowhere unranked. And last year, people were expecting big things, but still didn't think they'd get really to where they did. Next year, yeah, those expectations are going to be as high as possible. So that'll be a kind of a new thing. I'm sure they'll still try to play the nobody believes in us and you know, we're underdog card, as every team does. But yeah, it's going to be a slightly different feel heading into the season than normal. Yeah, anything else that you know, about this football program that you know, that has come up lately that, you know, you guys wanted to discuss?
I'm just happy this Harbaugh stuff is over, to be honest. It's like, is this really going to go into February again? And then just like trying to get people's reactions to what's going on. And yeah, so it's good to now look forward to talk about what this means moving forward instead of just every day. All right, what's the latest Harbaugh news? Like who knows? Only he's in his head. So that part is kind of exciting to just get it over with, to be honest.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll have, you know, continued coverage of all of this, as well as, you know, the winter sports that are in action, basketball and hockey, namely, on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.